Of course, you never have enough light, but depends where you're at. Okay. All right, we're going to try to talk about relationships. Some of you guys sound kind of mean today. We got some mean girls here. Everybody knows what we do with mean girls, don't you? We give them over to God. No, we'll see. All right, we're going to continue on talking about how to building a life together, and this is part three. And it's going to not deal with just husband and wife, but it's going to kind of deal a little bit with interpersonal relationships a little bit. You know, it takes a little bit of work to build relationships with people, doesn't it? You know, you got to really kind of stay mindful. How many know you can't really say what you want to say all the time? And we've learned that, right? Learned that the hard way, you know. We're not friends no more. But anyway, that happens when that happens, you know. But today we're going to talk about putting things on. Have you ever had a hard time figuring out what to wear? You know, I think we all probably have that one. And have you ever had something not fit anymore? You know, if you went through your closet, there's probably a few of those things in there. You kind of outgrew it. And sometimes we need to pick clothes that match our lifestyle and how important that is. And we wouldn't put our best clothes on to go out and plant a garden, probably, would we? You know, or our worst clothes to go out to dinner with somebody. You know, you kind of try to put on what's somewhat appropriate for what you do. And that's kind of what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at a couple passages there in what it tells us to do, what it tells us to put on, and what to put off. Colossians 3, verse 9 to 11, we're going to start there. It says, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside your old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you today. We humbly come to you, Lord. We just thank you so much, Lord, that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, that, Lord, you delivered us from the power of Satan, and, Lord, we are in the kingdom of God, Lord. We just thank you so much for your presence that's here today, just drawing us close to you. Lord, I want to yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and, Lord, also for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind up the devil from trying to steal the word out of our hearts and lives in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we see this kind of topic quite a bit through the New Testament. Put on the new self, okay? How important it is for the new life of Christ. And, you know, it says here, do not lie to one another. You know, sometimes, you know, we do that. See, godly relationships, you know, need to be built on truth. Godly relationships need to be built on trust. And godly relationships need to be built over time. How important it is to grow in these things and to kind of learn how to interact with each other as a Christian. You know, sometimes, as a new Christian especially, you know, sometimes you bring in some of the old habits into the new relationships and how that can be somewhat detrimental. You know, we're talking about laying aside the old. You know, we all have a past, but we must put the past behind us. Now, I do know this, that many times we have been hurt in relationships with either marital or our friends. I don't know, has anybody ever been stabbed in the back by somebody? Somebody you thought was a close friend. And then you found out that, you know, they maybe said something that you wanted to keep a confidence or whatever about, or maybe they were just mean and they, you know, stabbed you in the back. And, you know, everybody goes through those things. I don't think of anybody that's probably escaped that pain or problem in their life. And, you know, and especially it's hard, you know, when you're a child and go through it, or maybe your children are going through it. You know the pain, what that brings, and what happens with all that, and the baggage that it kind of creates. So all these things are in our life, and that past is there, but, you know, when we put on the new self, then we'd have to walk away from some of that things. And that's why we need to learn, you know, maybe how to trust other people. And you're going to probably get hurt again, but there's a great benefit in building strong godly relationships, and, you know, that's what we need to strive for. See, it doesn't work trying to do a new thing using the old ways. You know, we have to try things new. We have to do it a different way. And that just takes a little bit of paying attention on our part. What blessed me beyond all I could ever ask or think is that when I got saved, I started hanging around Christians who were on fire. I started hanging around those guys, even though I felt inadequate. You know what I mean? I was so scared that I was going to cuss in front of them, you know, or something like that. I mean, I know it seems trivial now, but, you know, I just found these people, and, you know, for whatever reason, they befriended me as a godly connection. But by hanging around those people and learn how to build godly relationships, you know, it was really a benefit to me. So I learned how to trust people because, you know, some things, you know, in life, you know, you go through and you drag those things through the relationship, and then it keeps people, you know, at arm's length, right? You know, we like people, but we hold our arm out. Don't get any closer than this. Stop right there. That's where it ends, right there. Nobody's getting into me. I'm not going to have that problem again. But see, that is a dangerous thing because, you know, we're keeping good things out of our life. Yeah, you're maybe keeping some pain out, but, you know, we can learn to be a little bit more discerning and things. And, you know, as we get in love, and we won't look at that today. My wife did a great job last week, and she mentioned that love chapter. Love never fails. If we're walking in the love of God, we will never get hurt again. Now, that's a bold statement, isn't it? If you're walking in the love of God that explained in 1 Corinthians 13, you'll never get hurt again because love doesn't take in consideration any faults. You just love just like God does, and that's the kind of love that we strive for. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. You know, with God, what does He say? All things are possible, right? So we need to strive to try to get into that phase of our life where we can walk that way. So it talks, you know, about, you know, the idea here, you know, don't lie to one another. See, many people make the mistake of bringing their old baggage into new relationships. You know, when, you know, we first get married, especially in that relationship, a lot of times, you know, we're dragging that suitcase along with all that pain and hurt. And what happens, you know, without going into any psychobabble, but there's certain triggers that when something's said or something's done, it may trigger a pain or a fault in our life, and then we respond in a bad way. Because, you know, we got an owie there, right? You know, you know, if you have a splinter in your finger, you know, sometimes you get a little piece of glass or a piece of wood in there, and it doesn't hurt unless what? You touch it or bump it. I mean, it can be in there living for a long time. But when you just hit it a certain way, all of a sudden pain comes. And see, that's what happens sometimes in our relationships when we bring that old baggage in there. We just need to cut the tie and put that behind us so that we can walk in the level of freedom, you know, that God wants us to have. And sometimes, you know, in relationships, you know, sometimes it doesn't really come out, the real us, until we actually tie the knot. I've watched this a lot of times in marriage. You know, we camouflage ourselves for a while, but in time, the real us gets exposed. I mean, when you're dating somebody or maybe engaged, sometimes you don't really let the real you out for a while. You kind of keep that person hidden, you know, behind a camouflage. And then after you get them to sign that little paper, now you got some legal rights, right? You know, now you have something there. And I've watched a lot of people, you know, get along good for a long time. Then when they sign that paper, all of a sudden some stuff starts coming out. I'm not trying to scare you guys. Matt and Cindy's here today. They got married a couple weeks ago. But I mean, you know, that's what happens sometimes. You know, we camouflage and all of a sudden, you know, that sort of thing comes out. And that's not good sometimes. We need to be able to deal with that. So what do we do here? It talks about putting on the new self. And that's the self that looks like Jesus Christ, right? You know, we can try to emulate Him here on this earth, you know, by living a lifestyle that brings glory. And new life, to me, means that we need to start living in the new ways. You know, not doing it like we used to. You know, when somebody said something mean to you in the old days, you might said something back or whopped them upside the head, right? You know, but in the new life, God, you know, wants us to turn the other cheek. Now, that's hard sometimes, you know. But, you know, trying to learn that lifestyle. But, you know, putting on the new self means our actions need to line up with our faith. Our actions need to line up with our faith. And so we may read it, we may confess it, but also then we need to do it. And that's the hard part. But I got good news. All things are possible with God. You know, I really stand by that. Yes, you may make a mistake. You're probably going to get angry again in your life, just guessing. But for the most part, you can start to live a life that brings glory to Jesus Christ as you yield to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, starting to move and to live inside of you, starting to manifest His presence in our lives so that we can walk, you know, in the power of the Spirit. You know, and that's important that we need to do that. So as we do that, see, we're being renewed, and we need the true knowledge of the new image, and that's that comes into getting into the Word, and we're going to look at that next week. I think we're going to do this one more week and follow this passage on through to a little ways. But you know, allowing the Spirit of God to start to change our life because we get into the Word of God. See, the Word of God is what's going to transform us. It's going to change us. When we put the Word first and decide to do what the Word says, you know, it's hard to do sometimes because, you know, we may feel differently. But like I always say, you can't trust your feelings. Feelings are okay if they're good feelings, you know, but there's those bad feelings, you know, like the feeling, I don't feel like going into work today, but I don't have any money in my bank account. What are we going to do now? You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't feel like this, or I don't feel like that. You know, a lot of people just live by their feelings. They follow whatever they feel, and you can kind of see the carnage that is following them around. You know, the problems, the pain, the heartache, the grief of all the things they do because they have not learned how to put the new self on and then to walk in that new life rather than hold on to that old life. You know, where we justify our actions. And that's all things that, you know, you and I, that's the nitty-gritty, the walk that we have on this earth, you know, that we learn how to control some things in our life by the power of God. And it's all possible with God. So we need to be able to see what we can become through Christ, okay? You know, you can do all things through Christ. Maybe not brain surgery. I don't know. I don't want to throw that out there. But I mean, we can do far as you're living for God and far as the things of interpersonal relationships with other people, we can do that through Christ, through the Spirit of God that lives inside of us, the new life, the new us, you know. And, you know, like I always say, we need to see who we are before we can become who we are. See, it comes down to the little vision in our mind of how we see ourselves, how we interact with others. Remember the children of Israel, when they sent the 12 spies out, two came good, you know, Joshua and Caleb, and then also we had the 10, okay? The 10 said that they're so big and so strong that we saw ourselves as a grasshopper in their sight, and so that's how the people of that nation saw them, because of our bad self-image. See, when we have a bad self-image instead of a godly self-image, you know, then we feel inadequate. You know what I mean? We go into circumstances. It's kind of like going in there with both arms tied behind our back to do something because we don't feel, you know, who we are in Christ. We just have a negative self-image that I feel inferior to you. That person's better than me. That person's smarter than me. You know, that person has all this and I don't have nothing. So those kind of feelings, you know, come out in our life, and that's going to hinder us in our relationships. You know, some people, when they go into a relationship, they feel like a doormat. You know what I mean? When they go into that relationship, they lead with, I'm a doormat. So they just let other people just walk all over them, and they take it. You know, and after a while, yeah, they may get people to like them, but they're going to get so frustrated. You can only be a doormat so long in your life until you can't take it no more. But see, if we could correct that and stop looking at what we like we were, but look at who Christ says we are, you know, what does Jesus say about me? What does Jesus say that I'm like? You know, and then we start to see that, and then we can be that, okay? But we have to see it first, and that's why I can't stress enough the importance of getting into the Word of God and the power that the Word of God has and how it can change your life. Now, we probably all know, to some degree, what we can do by ourselves, but do we really know what God can do to us and through us? That's the question, you know. That's the question. We all know what we're capable of doing, but do we really know what God is capable of doing to us and through us, the life change he can make in our life, and where he can take you to? You know, I think that many times we sell ourselves short. We forget about what God can do through us, and we settle for just what we can do. And that's why, you know, we live, you know, like a turkey instead of soaring like an eagle, right? Now, I like turkeys, butterball, right? You know, but I don't want to be a turkey. You know, I don't. I mean, you know, people hunt turkeys. I don't hunt them. You know, I like I say, I like butterball. I just go to the store. You know, I don't have to go out there and look for them wild ones. But some turkeys can be real smart. You know, a turkey can maybe see you moving or however they do, and they're hard to get. But that same turkey will run into a fence, a hog-type fence that's got the little squares, and they'll keep trying to go through it. You know, kind of stupid, you know. So they can be smart in some ways, but not in the other. You know, that's why, you know, I think, you know, we need to see that we can soar like an eagle. See, an eagle has the ability to soar above all the problems. You know, it don't let them drag him down. He just puts his wings out, maybe tilts them a little bit more, and a little higher we go. Amen? We can get above those things that's going on, those circumstances in our life that's holding us back and trying to make us feel that, you know, that we're inadequate. See, we're playing in a different game now, and there are different rules to this game. See, no longer are we just some old sinner, some dirty old sinner, you know what I mean? Anybody ever been one of those? I was. You know, dirty old sinner, you know. I had stinking thinking and all that stuff in my brain, just didn't see things right. But see, when I came to the kingdom, then the rules changed. I'm not that person no more. I'm a child of the king. I need to represent my God, you know. So that means I had to start doing things and learn in a new way, and it's important because, you know, after I became a Christian, I had to be educated on how godly relationships work. I knew what it was like to a heathen to have relationships, you know what I mean? You know, all those kind of things, how I used to date girls. I mean, it changed when I became a Christian. You know, everything changed. It was a different way, a different process, a different way of doing things. But see, I had to pay attention and learn those things. So I had to be re-educated. I had to be willing to learn, you know, and change. And that's all we have to do. If we're willing, God will change us. He's just looking for people that are willing. You know, we don't have to be the smartest person in the room. We just have to be the willing person in the room. Amen? We just have to be willing and say, God, I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you say. You know, use me, Lord. I want to be your person. And, you know, God will pull you out and he'll start to use you. So there, any time in life, we experience that there are carnal relationships and spiritual relationships. You know what I mean? Carnal is more fleshly and those things, then we have some spiritual relationships and how important those are. You know, sometimes I think that people sell themselves short. If we're a Christian, we need to be a little more picky, a little more fussy. You know what I mean? Who we enter into relationship. Now, we can do evangelism and things like that, but we need to be careful that we don't get into situations that's going to drag us down. Because when the world is talking about taking the relationship to the next level, it's thinking physical, right? But when God, our Christian, wants to take things to the next level, we're thinking spiritually. And that's how we need to see. Now, next passage I want to look at as we jump into the harsher part of the message, you know, the stuff that we don't need to do, is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 9. It says, therefore, when you see therefore, you got to see what it's there for, right? It says, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to adultery. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them aside, all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Then it goes in to say what we said earlier, do not lie to one another, and since you have laid aside the old evil practices. So here it talks about we need to be dead to things. Now, I brought one of my old jackets here. And This is one of my favorites. I just bought this last week. Now, I've had this jacket probably for 10 or 15 years. And I only put this jacket on when I go do certain things. And you can see some of those things are filthy and dirty, right? And see, that's what this passage is talking about. See, he tells us to die to this, and you know, we shouldn't put these things on, because the things that we need to do is the fact that we should not lie to one another and we should not lie to ourselves. We need to get real, right? We need to get real with our relationship with God. And this one here is talking about die to sin. Now, what I found out in my life, that we die to sin, and sin does not die to us. When I first got saved, the sins that I used to be involved with were still around, and they were thriving. But what the change was, I died to those. It no longer had a pull on me. And see, that's what we need to see. So we need to get rid of some of these things it says here, or all of these things, because it says the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience because of these things. Now, we're going to look at some of these things, you know, and break them down. First part of these sins is talking about sexual sins and how we deal with the opposite sex, okay? The first one is talking about immorality. Okay, this is talking about, is the Greek word porneia, and that's where we get pornography, and we know how devastating that can be to people's lives, and it's kind of talking about fornication. So it's talking about how, you know, these things are dirty, and that's what this resembles. You know, I don't know if my wife really knows I still have this coat. I hide it in my truck because I don't want my wife to see that I still have this, because she'll throw it away. But see, that's what we do. We hide things, don't we? We hide these things in our life because we don't want nobody else to see us wearing this. So we may have a secret life. We got to be careful about that. So that's where it's talking about that idea of immorality, porneia. Next one, it says impurity. That just means moral uncleanness. You know, when an immoral person, on how to deal with that. And how those actions, like I say, it says we put on these things. We have a choice to put these things on. And as a Christian, when we choose to, this is what it looks like. Next one's impurity. Moral uncleanness, and then it's passion. That's an unrestrained sexual appetite is when we have that. It's talking about lust. See, lust is about what I can get out of this relationship rather than what I can give to the relationship. And there's a lot of people in relationships, and they say they love each other, but they really don't. They really lust each other because they're trying to get out of it and not put into it. It's what I can get out of this. It's about me, 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 me. Okay? And those things, these are all of the devil. On how he tries to come in and influence and hurt. And then it talks about evil desire. That's wanting something filthy to satisfy our desire. None of these words are that great, are they? You know? But that's just kind of the stuff that we need to be careful about. The last one, it talks here about greed. Greed equals idolatry. And sometimes we can idolize someone instead of God and put them on a pedestal. And throughout Scripture, there's a common link that links sexual immorality to idolatry. Because I know that, you know, when our flesh is activated, you know what I'm saying, for its carnal passion or desires, it just wants to be satisfied. But see, that's the part of our life that Jesus died on the cross for, to crucify that and to put it to death. And it's important that we do so. And not allow it to, you know, stick up its ugly head. See, if we put on these kind of clothes and start to do that, it's like playing whack-a-mole, you know. Keep hitting it and keep something else just keeps coming up. But see, the good news is Jesus Christ came so that we could be set free. And we don't have to be, you know, technically, you know, in that situation again. Now, the next passage here, or part of this passage, is talking about relational sins. You know, how we deal with all relationships. You know, it talks about anger. Now, everybody gets mad sometimes, right? I mean, I think you will from time to time, because we live in a world that is kind of irritating, right? And you might live with somebody that's kind of irritating, right? Don't say yes right now. Everybody's looking. Everybody's looking. See, anger is bottled up hatred. Some people just, you know, keep that bottled up inside. They don't know how to get rid of it. And, you know, we just need to give it over to Jesus. Well, the next one is wrath. Well, that's when you don't know how to deal with your anger. And all of a sudden, it's just an outburst. Boom. Just blow up. You know, you've held it in so long, and instead of giving it over to Jesus, man, you just had to, you know, let some steam off. And so there's a swath of people you've just laid low. You know what I mean? You just let them have it. You know, that's anger. Then it goes into malice. You know, malice is doing evil even though good has been received, and that destroys relationships. You know, some people just can't help themselves. They just self-sabotage everything in their life they do. Part of it's from that self-image that's wrong, and they've never turned that around. But see, when somebody does good to us, we should do good in return. And as a Christian, when somebody does bad to us, we need to do good in return. But this is kind of whacked out. This says when somebody does good to us, if we're operating in malice, then we do bad to the good people. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, does it? But see, that's the old life. That's what the devil, you know, has tried to do in our life. Next, it talks about slander. This is more of a Christian sin, right? Slander. It's talking about blasphemia. It's destroying someone's reputation by spreading rumors, lies, or gossip. You know what I mean? Amen? Oh my, right? Which one? Oh my, right? See, that's what slander's about, and sometimes that's the sin. You know, we may not get involved in them ones in the first deal, but, you know, we can easily gossip, and we got to be careful about that. Then it goes into abusive speech. It's going to get better here in a minute, people. Just hang with me just a couple more minutes. Talks about abusive speech, which is crude talk. We've all been around that person, right? You know, that just crude, and everything out of their mouth is bad, you know? I mean, you know, that's kind of what that's about, you know? I was on this job once, and, you know, this guy, he broke something and wanted me to fix it for him. And I was going to do it for free. But till he started using mother blank every sentence, at least two or three times, and finally I'd had enough, and he got a bill, buddy. I'd had enough of that one. You know, I don't like to be around that. Not that I'm holier than thou, but how many knows what goes in the ear might come out the mouth? You know what I'm saying? And that's the last thing I want to slip out of my mouth. So you got to be careful what you listen to, you know, what TV shows you watch, what music you listen to, things like that, because that stuff keeps going in, then all of a sudden that might come out at a very inopportune time, if you know what I'm saying. You know, and I don't want that. I don't want that crude talk in my life, because I used to cuss. Especially I got kicked by a cow. Anybody had that happen, you know? You know, I always had, you know, so I just... Yeah, didn't want that. So as a Christian, hopefully, we have outgrown these clothes. And God has a custom-made wardrobe for us. So we need to take these clothes off, not let them be a part of our life. And, you know, take that part to the cross, because this isn't needed no more. So God has a better way for us, okay? He has something a lot better, and we're going to look at that right now. It's found in Colossians 3, 12 to 14, okay? It says, so as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, see, that's how God sees us, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So it talks about putting on a new wardrobe. And I exchanged that coat for this one. And this coat here is a little nicer. I mean, it's a dress coat. And I probably look a little better in this one than that one, right? A little bit. It'd go either way. That's why I have a face for radio, you know what I'm saying? Got that from Jason. Yeah, there you go. So put on a new wardrobe. You know, these clothes are for the holy and beloved. That's how God sees us. As a Christian, once we've made the, we transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, you know, this is how God sees us. I mean, this is just a kind of a symbol of, you know, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's nothing that we can earn. It's just something that we accept and receive by faith. You know, we have that new life. And this is kind of things, you know, that we need to start operating in. It talks about a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion is talking about genuine sensitivity towards others. You know, it's kind of like you really care about other people. You know, I mean, it's easy, like we do the meet and greet. I believe everybody cares about everybody here. At least that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Amen. You know, but sometimes, you know, if we go through life, you know, have you ever asked somebody how it's going, but you never really didn't care if they told you how it's going? You know what I mean? Well, this is different than that. This is a heart of compassion. It's genuine. Genuine caring about somebody else. And, you know, that's important, you know, that we start to care about other people, because people are important. As a matter of fact, people were so important that Jesus Christ gave his life for people. Jesus Christ gave his life for people on what he wants to do in our life. And so that we care about others just the way he cares about us. Next one is talking about kindness. It's acting charitably towards others. You know, being kind to other people. Like, oh, you know, say, you know, and everybody knows this, it doesn't cost you anything to be kind, does it? It doesn't cost anything to be kind. You know, to be respectful to other people and how important that is. Next, humility. Humility is talking about having an attitude that's not puffed up with pride, understanding our position with God. See, the reason why some people have trouble maybe putting other people ahead of themselves and being humble is the fact that we don't know our position in God. See, I shared this within the last 3 or 4 months, I think. You know, John 13:3 talks about how Jesus knew who he was and where he's going. He stripped down and washed the disciples' feet. I mean, would you wash somebody else's feet? Somebody off the street washed their feet. You know, would you do it in front of your friends? What would your friends think about you if you kneeled down and you washed a bunch of dirty people's feet? Would you do it? But see, if you know who you are in Christ, you will. Because you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Your position in Christ never changes. So we're free to do anything, to serve other people, to love other people, and to care for other people, and to put them first. And see, that's comes back to, you know, getting into the Word and finally letting it sink in who we are, and that's awesome. Next is talking about gentleness. That means humble and considerate, not weak, but willing to give up our rights for the sake of others. I mean, that's being gentle. You know, sometimes we do give up our rights for other people, and we need to do that sometimes as a Christian. You know, I think this would be a good one in marriage. You know, sometimes we give up our rights for the other person in marriage. You know, a lot of people, when they enter into that kind of relationship, now this can be in any relationship, but a lot of people sometimes are selfish. That causes a lot of friction in marriage, in anything. You know, but if we put the other person first, you know, that helps that. Then number 5 I have here is talking about patience. That's long-suffering. This is harder. It says to put up with people that irritate us. That's tough, ain't it? You know, irritation's irritation. It's irritation. You know, technically, irritation can make a pearl, right? Inside a oyster or a clam. Which one is it? Oyster. Yeah. So they, you know, a little piece of sand gets there and starts to irritate, and all of a sudden, a pearl comes out later on. But see, we need to practice patience. Then it goes into bear with. That means put up with or extra grace is required for some people. Don't look at them. I know you're wanting to look at them right now. But some people in our lives need extra grace, don't they? You know, they just need it. They need that extra grace because they just can't help themselves. Their life hasn't been changed yet. And remember what we were like. You know, when I drive the church van, I love it because I love the kids. But as the kids get older, the little kids irritate them. I don't want to ride the van no more. Them kids just irritate me. I said, you were just like them. Several years ago, you were that person. You know what I mean? Deal with it. You know? Get over it. Sometimes we just gotta give people extra grace. I wish people would do that. I wish the public school would do that. The kids would learn that at school. Give extra grace. I'm so tired here at church to inherit something that happened at school on Wednesday night. I mean, it's just unbearable. You know, the fact that, you know, that things that happen, it happens anywhere. But I mean, the things that happen, they just have no respect for each other. And then we inherit it here and we got an hour and 20 minutes to try to change your lives. You know what I'm saying? That's hard. That's hard. All things are possible with God, though. Amen. That's why we keep going. Next one is talking about forgiveness, okay? Forgiveness means to pardon or graciously remit someone else's sin. So extending forgiveness to other people on how important it is to forgive them just like we want to be forgiven. So then it goes on to the next point of putting on love, okay? When we put on love, I think love is the activator that covers all these things, all this kindness and gentleness and all these things that we have in life. It talks about putting on love. And see, love covers everything. And what I also know about love is the fact that it ties things together. We need to walk in love. See, it's hard to operate in kindness, gentleness, all these things if we're not willing to walk in love. So that's a decision. You know what I'm saying? It's a decision that you and I need to make to walk in love. Can we walk in love no matter what? No matter what the circumstances, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to walk in love? Are we willing to give the other person the benefit, give them a break? You know, that's a choice. That's a choice. See, love is like the perfect belt that holds everything in place. Because it says here, love is the perfect bond of unity. It's the perfect bond of unity that holds us all together, that holds everything together in our life. And when we walk in love, we will act and not react, okay? It's a choice to walk in this love. Because what happens if we don't choose to walk in it and then something happens to us, we're going to react to that problem. And 9 times out of 10, we will not react in love. Why? Because we haven't chose to. Just like in any relationship. You know, I tell, just kidding around with the kids sometimes, you know, I say, hey, you're going out on a date, find the biggest Bible you can find, put it right between you. And don't cross that Bible. Now, that's just a metaphor that before a young person goes out on a date, they have to decide what their rules are. Rules of engagement, shall we say. You know, if we don't have any laws or rules in our life, guidelines, then anything can happen. Right? So that's why we need to decide ahead of time. How am I going to conduct myself? What am I going to do? Am I going to, you know, walk in this godly love and be able to walk in that kind of wisdom? And, you know, so in closing here, I think we need to be mindful of what we're wearing, you know. It's important what we are. Now, for the most part, I just kind of, like, I don't, when I'm out doing certain jobs, it don't bother me to wear that. But there's certain places I would never go. Around my wife, number one. Because she would take the coat away from me probably and try to burn it. Then we'd have a problem. I wouldn't go to the store in that, you know. You know, that's just there. But we need to be mindful of what we're wearing when I'm talking about spiritually now. Okay? We don't want to, you know, be of the first two passages talking about the sexual sins and then the relational sins. Those kind of things manifesting and operating in our life. Because, you know, it wouldn't be that good to put good clothes on dirty clothes. You know, I myself did that when I first started out. See, I wasn't born again until about a year after I started going to church. But you couldn't keep me away from that church. I knew there was something there. I just wasn't sure how to acquire it. How I could stop, you know, you know, the life that I had and start this new life. And, you know, I would, here's what I did. I would come in, and when they said amen, boom, I was gone. I didn't want to talk to nobody because I was afraid I would say something wrong. But after a while, God started to wear me down, you know, and I started to get more of the Word of God in my life. It kept coming, it kept coming in, it kept coming in, kept coming in, and changes were starting to take place in my life until finally I yielded my life to Jesus Christ. You know what happened? They should have gave me a key to that church because I was the first one there and the last one to leave. What happened? I changed on the inside. Change happens if we let it, if we allow God to do. So the world is also judging us by what we're wearing. Yes, as Christians, we're going to make a mistake sometimes. We're going to say something, do something that don't set right with somebody. But for the most part, on our, as far as we're responsible for, we need to be mindful of how, what kind of God we're portraying in the world, what kind of Christian we are. That's important. You know, not to try to, you know, impress them, but we're trying to win them. We're trying to win them to Christ, trying to bring them into the family of God. See, I believe that God gives us a custom-made wardrobe that's tailored exactly for us. I've never had a tailor, you know what I mean? You know, I buy off the rack. And, you know, I have trouble finding pants. You know, I got a 29-inch inseam. Most pants are 30. You can find 29s, but, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes. But to have something that's made especially for me, that'd be kind of cool. Well, that's what God did. God gives you that kindness and that gentleness and all these things. He made it just exactly for you, and it's going to fit you perfectly. And when you put on love, it's going to activate all those other things starting to work in our life. It's going to give the fruit of the Spirit, you know, a chance in our life. And it's important because as we put on Christ, you know, it's going to affect how we treat others. Amen? That's important. How we treat others. That's what God cares about. And it's all possible through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to give opportunity now. You heard me talking about being a Christian, being born again, you know, coming to Christ. You know, I don't believe, especially that because somebody goes to church, that they're a Christian. They can be. But I know that a change has to take place on the inside where we allow Jesus Christ to come into our life and be our personal Lord and Savior. I want to give opportunity now, if you've never done that in your life, and you say, yes, that's me, Pastor Brad. I want to make my peace with God. I want to become a Christian. Just slip up your hand and put it down if that's you. Or maybe you have and you know you need to rededicate, reconsecrate your life. Come back to Jesus. I just want to give that opportunity. Don't want anybody here to leave not knowing for sure. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you so much, Lord, for the moving of your Spirit now. Just touching us each. Every head bowed and eye closed if you're here today and you know that sometimes you put on that dirty jacket and you want to take it off and you just want to walk in the fruit and to put on love. Just slip up your hand, amen, and put it down, amen. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you so much for your Spirit right now. Lord, I just thank you that you're moving in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, just move across this congregation. We thank you for those who have reached out to you. Lord, I thank you that you're reaching back to them. Never the same. Lord, I speak change. Change right now. Today's a day of separation. And we honor you for all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.